He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Aren't you glad this morning that we serve a God who faithfully leads his children? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't abandon us to just wander our own way? Now, granted, we do wander our own way sometimes, but that's not because God doesn't lead us. It's because we are stubborn and refuse to follow his leading. God doesn't make us grope in the darkness to find his way. God faithfully leads us as his children. He makes it plain to us where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do. Our God is a shepherd. He's a shepherd who leads his sheep to living waters and to green pastures. Right along with David, we could say these words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our God is a faithful shepherd. He does lead us. And this morning, I want to ask you, are you willing to faithfully follow God's faithful leading? God is a faithful leader. God faithfully leads us, but are we willing to always follow that leading? No matter where he directs us, no matter what he has us to do, are you willing to follow him no matter what? I'm so thankful that God is a God who always does what is best. He always leads us without error. Now, sometimes God's leading in our lives may be very clear. It may be crystal clear to us. We know right away, this is what God wants me to do. But other times, his leading is less clear. It may take us longer to discern that this is, in fact, what God wants us to do. As we think about God's leading, he chooses to lead us in a number of different ways at different times in our lives. Sometimes God leads each one of us in different ways. He may choose to lead you one way, in one manner. He may choose to lead me or another person in another manner. As we think about the details of God's leading, we could testify in each one of our lives, the details of that leading may differ in certain respects. But as we seek to describe God's leading, we can describe God's leading in each one of our lives in a similar way. We can talk about God's leading in this way. He chooses to open doors, and he chooses to close doors. Sometimes as God makes his will and makes it known to us, sometimes he makes it very clear, I do not want you to do this. I do not want you to go here. He closes a door. Other times he makes it very clear, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. He opens the door. And as we think about God opening doors and closing doors, we must be committed to always go through the open door and never try to pry open the closed door. However God leads us, wherever he leads us, whatever he wants us to do, we need to be committed to following his good leadership. Now, as we talk about God's leading, a lot of times we use abstract terms. And even the idea of closing a door, opening a door, that's kind of abstract, isn't it? But how does God's leading, how does that play out in real terms in our own lives? What does a closed door look like? What does an open door look like? Well, this morning I encourage you and invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And as we look at verses 6 through 15, we will see how God led the Apostle Paul and his co-workers. He led them in a very clear way. And he led them by means of closed doors and by means of open doors. And Paul faithfully followed God's leadership. And as he followed his leadership, God blessed him. And it's my desire this morning that we will commit to always follow God's leadership. Whether it be a closed door or an open door, we need to recognize that to be the case and respond accordingly. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. If you're using one of our Pew Bibles, it's page 1274. And follow along as I read this morning. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 15. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. So we see in this passage, and as we can even testify in our own lives, God is a God who leads his children. God led the Apostle Paul and his co-workers in a specific way. And God is going to lead us today as well. And as we look at our passage this morning, as we study it out, I want us to consider three specific truths about God's leading. As we look at verses 6 through 8, first of all, we realize that when God leads, he often closes a door. And as he closes those doors, we can't become discouraged. Rather, we need to keep on knocking on doors. We need to keep on seeking opportunities of ministry. We see that in verses 6 through 8. As we come to verses 9 through 12, we also realize that when God leads, he's going to open doors for us. And as he opens those doors for us, what do we need to do? We need to immediately go through those open doors. We see that in verses 9 through 12. And then verses 13 through 15, whenever God leads through open doors and closed doors, often he's going to direct us to people that he wants us to interact with, people that he wants us to impact, or people that he wants to impact through us for the cause of the gospel. Now, as we consider this example of Paul in Acts chapter 16, we look at verses 6 and following, we are kind of jumping into the context. So let's refresh our memories of some of the earlier context. And as we go back to chapter 15 of Acts, we read about Paul. Paul's an apostle. And in chapter 15, what does he do? At the end of that chapter, he recruits a man named Silas to go with him on a journey to visit some of the churches that he and Barnabas had planted earlier. A journey that we often called the first missionary journey. So Paul, he's returned from that first missionary journey, and he wants to go and revisit the churches that were planted on that first missionary journey. And instead of going with Barnabas, he's going to go with Silas. And he wants to see how the churches in Pisidian, Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, and Derbe were doing. And it was his desire to strengthen them in the faith, to establish them. And as we consider their journey, let me show you a map here so you can visualize it a little bit better. And so here is where they set off from. You see that first red arrow is Antioch. And that's what we could call, to a certain extent, their home church or their sending church, at least for that first missionary journey. And it's in Antioch that Paul recruits Silas. And the two of them go on a journey. And so where do they go? They go this time, as they seek to revisit these churches, they go to the city of Derbe, and then later on, they go to Lystra. And they traverse by land this time on that first journey. They traversed by sea, and they went the opposite direction. But in this case, they went from Antioch north through the land and then westward, and they visited Derbe and Lystra. But even before they went there, they visited some churches that had been planted previously in the areas of Syria and Cilicia. But they come to Derbe and Lystra, and it's in that area that they come across a young man named Timothy. And Timothy had a good reputation among the believers, and Paul desired to bring Timothy along with him on this journey. And Timothy agreed, and Timothy went right along with them as they continue on in their journey. And so Timothy accompanies Paul and Silas as they continue on and visit the church that had been already planted in Iconium. And from Iconium, they go to Pisidian Antioch. So you can kind of see the pathway here, and the arrows are showing you the cities, because I realize if you're sitting in the back especially, you can't see exactly where they're at, but this helps you picture where they're at. And so it's in this context that we read verses 6 through 8 of Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they passing by Mysia came back to Troas. So here is the author of Acts, Luke. He's noting that Paul and Silas and Timothy are making their way through a certain geographic area. This area is known by the name of Phrygia and also Galatia, and very possibly that refers to this time that they spent in Iconium and Pisidian Antioch in that region, those last two arrows. So as they pass through those towns, they're revisiting churches that they already planted. They're strengthening them in the faith, encouraging them to keep on walking with the Lord, teaching them concerning God's word and more about God and Jesus Christ, encouraging them to continue to strive for the gospel. And so here they are. They've revisited many of the churches that they had planted on that first journey. Of course, it was Paul and Barnabas that planted them on that first journey. Now it's Paul and Silas revisiting them. And so they've revisited them. What are they going to do now? And I think Paul in his mind had this idea. He had a plan already made. After they revisit these churches, they're going to go out and blaze new territory for the gospel. But where are they going to go? Here they are in Pisidian Antioch. Are they going to go west or north or further east? Where are they going to go? And I think in Paul's mind, he wanted to go further to the west. He wanted to go into the area of Asia. And I think in my mind that he had the desire to go to the main city of Ephesus and preach the gospel. And you see Ephesus there with the blue arrow. He wanted to go on. It doesn't say that in the scriptures, but possibly he had in his mind, he wants to preach the gospel in Ephesus. That was Paul's plan. Now, whether it's in Ephesus, we don't know for sure, but he wanted to go into Asia. I think that's quite clear here. But what do we read here? God is going to lead Paul where he wants him to go. And in verse 6, the last part of the verse, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So we could put a big X through that arrow that's pointing to Ephesus. Paul is not going to go to Ephesus and preach the gospel. In fact, he's not going to preach the gospel anywhere in the area of Asia, which is in that pinkish color. That's the region of Asia. And so what's he going to do? Yes, there are many people in Ephesus, many people in Asia that need to hear about Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit closed that door. God was leading Paul and Timothy and Silas, and he was leading them through a closed door. You aren't going to go to Asia and preach the gospel, not at this point in time. So how do they respond? Were they disappointed? Perhaps they were disappointed. Were they terribly discouraged? I don't think they were discouraged. They didn't turn around and go back to Antioch. What do? They continue on seeking open doors. And even before we go to the next closed door, we can ask ourselves, well, how did God make it clear that they should not go into Asia and preach the gospel? It doesn't tell us specifically. It just says that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Maybe God communicated directly with Paul. Just through an audible voice or through some other type of specific communication. Or maybe, as we consider Silas being a prophet, maybe Silas had a specific prophecy that they weren't supposed to preach the word in Asia. Or maybe it was just this inward compulsion that they weren't to go that direction. Maybe there were circumstances that came about. Maybe there was sickness. Maybe there was extreme opposition that made it clear we're not to preach the gospel in Asia at this point in time. God closed that door of gospel proclamation in the area of Asia. He told them, this is not my will that you go here. He closed the door. Now, how do we react? I don't think Paul was especially discouraged. He wasn't on the verge of quitting because God closed the door. He didn't give up. What's he going to do? He's going to knock on another door of opportunity. So they couldn't preach the word in Asia. Now their thought was, well, maybe we could preach the word in Bithynia. So I believe they probably continued up northward, and it's at this next city. We don't know for sure which city it is, but they're probably in the region of this last red arrow where they're thinking, maybe we can continue on north to that area of Bithynia, which is marked with that yellow area, and actually the entire blue section is the region of Bithynia. And Paul and Silas and Timothy were thinking, well, if we can't go and preach the word in Asia, maybe God wants us to go up to this area and preach the word in Bithynia, because there are a lot of people here that need the gospel in Bithynia. Maybe God wants us to go here and proclaim the gospel. Well, how does the Lord lead them? He closes the door and he says, no, I don't want you to preach the word in Bithynia either. It's not time for you to go there. That's not my will for you. And so we read there in verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit didn't allow them to go that direction to proclaim the gospel. And so what do? They continue on through Asia, and they're not proclaiming the gospel as they go through Asia, but they go to that far city port of Troas, and here they're continuing to seek the Lord's will. Where will you have us to go? You don't want us to preach the word in Asia, you don't want us to preach the word in Bithynia, but they're still knocking on doors. They're still seeking the Lord's will. God had led them this far with closed doors. He said very explicitly, however, we don't know exactly how he told them, but you can't go to Asia to preach the word, you can't go to Bithynia to preach the word. Closed doors. Now maybe they're kind of more disappointed at this point in time. Maybe they're wondering, well, why can't we go to Asia or Bithynia? But they accept the Lord's will. They accept his direction. They don't give up. They continue to seek the Lord's will. After going through Mysia, they arrive at Troas. And it's here that the Lord would show them where he wanted them to go. Now, we today, we aren't going to have a specific audible voice of the Lord speaking to us. You don't do this or you don't go here. We aren't going to have, as we read in these next verses, we aren't going to see a vision of somebody telling us to do this or that or go someplace. But God is going to impress upon our hearts. He's going to show us through his word and through other perhaps circumstances or perhaps through godly counsel that we should not do this or we should do this, closed and open doors. Well, as we come to verses 9 through 12, we read that God leads Paul and Silas and Timothy through an open door. And as we read in verse 9, what do we read? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were there in that city abiding certain days. So God had made his will known very clearly previously by shut doors. Okay, you aren't going to go to Asia to preach the word. You're not going to go to Bithynia to preach the word. But now, God makes it very clear, this is where I want you to go. This is an open door for you to enter. And God made his will known through a vision at night. Maybe it was through a dream. And in this vision, there's a Macedonian man. And this man is urging Paul, come on over here and help us. Now, what kind of help did this man need? He didn't need food. It's not because he was hungry that he was asking Paul to come and help them. It's not because he was homeless and needed a house to live in that he asked Paul to come and help them. That's not the type of help that he was asking for. He was asking for spiritual help. Help for his very deepest need, the need of salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul realized that God had made his will known. There's a wide open door for him. Macedonia needs to hear the gospel. This is God's will for me at this point in time. So how does Paul respond? He responds by immediately making plans to go to Macedonia. They knew that God had called them to preach the gospel there. Now it's interesting as we look here at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. It's the first time in verse 10 that we see that word we referring to Paul and his companions. Now previously there had been Paul and Silas and Timothy, but now another man is added to their group, and this man I believe is Luke, the one who is writing this book. And he was there at Troas. From other scriptures, we realize that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. Maybe he was in Troas practicing medicine. Maybe he was at Troas and he helped Paul with a physical ailment. Maybe Paul was sick and Luke helped him with that sickness. But it's at this point in time in Troas that Luke joins the missionary group. And it's from Troas that is head off to go to Macedonia. So where do we go? Well, we find that from Troas, they go a day's journey by sea to the island of Samothracia. They spend the night there, no doubt. And the next day, they set off by sea once again, and they reach the port city of Neapolis. So they're 2 days in voyages on the sea, and now they have left Asia, and they are now in the area of Macedonia. From Neapolis, they go about 10 miles inland to the colony of Philippi. This is a Roman colony. This is an important city in the area. And very possibly, this is Luke's hometown. We don't know for sure, but this may be Luke's hometown, the city of Philippi. And it's here in Philippi that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke are going to proclaim the gospel. Now, the city of Philippi, Luke says it's a leading city of that area of Macedonia. It's not its capital, but it's a leading city. It's a Roman colony. So it's, in a sense, it's like a mini Rome out in the Roman territory. Many people would have spoken Latin here in this city. Many of the people that settled in Philippi originally were retired Roman soldiers. So it had a certain Roman culture. They abided by Roman law. And this is the city that they are going to stay in for several days. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. See, God had opened that door. And how did Paul and the rest respond? Immediately they make plans to go through that open door, to follow God's leading. They get on that ship. They go to Samothracia. They go to Neapolis. They go to Philippi, that leading city in Macedonia. They responded immediately to God's leading. Now we today, we aren't going to see that vision as I mentioned earlier. God isn't going to reveal His will through that vision like that. But He is going to lead us, isn't He? How is He going to lead us? He's going to lead us through His Word. He very possibly may lead us through various circumstances and through the prompting of the Holy Spirit and through godly counsel. He's going to lead us. And as God opens that door of opportunity for us, we must go through. We must follow His leading. Now, as we follow God's leading, we realize that there are things that He doesn't want us to do, places He doesn't want us to go. As He opens the doors, we need to go through and we need to do what He wants us to do and go where He wants us to go. And as we follow that leading, many times God is going to have people that He wants us to meet. People that are specifically ordained of God for us to talk with and share the gospel with. And that was the case in Philippi. We read in verses 13 through 15, and even through the rest of the chapter, that God had specific people that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke were to meet and share the good news of Jesus with. And lives were going to be changed because of Paul's willingness to follow God's leading. So as we look at verses 13 through 15, here they are in Philippi. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So Paul had went through the open door. He had made his way to Philippi. And it was Paul's custom, whenever he went to a city and he was there for the first time to preach the gospel, it was his custom to go to a synagogue, that place where the Jews met together for worship. And there would be opportunity for him to share from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is indeed the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. But in Philippi, there's no mention of a synagogue, so probably there's not a very large Jewish population. But he does go where there was a group that met together for prayer. It wasn't inside the city limits. It was by the riverside. Very possibly, this was where a group of Jewish women and other God-seekers were meeting, there by the riverside. So here they find the place where this group met. At least they thought this is where they would meet. And they found them, they sat down. And what does Paul do? Paul speaks to these women and shares with them the truth of Jesus Christ. He opens up the scriptures for them. And in that group of women, we have a certain woman named Lydia. Lydia was a seller of purple. Okay, and in those days, purple dye was very expensive. They would extract it from seashells, and just to have one drop of that purple dye, it took a lot of effort. It was very rare. And so to be a merchant in purple, and probably Lydia here was selling purple clothes that had been dyed purple, she was dealing with wealthy individuals, because only the wealthy could afford to buy purple clothing. So here's Lydia. She's in Philippi. That's not her hometown. Where's her hometown? She's from the city of Thyatira. But here she is in Philippi. Now, as we look at Thyatira, where's that at? Look at the purple area, the purple arrow. Thyatira is in Asia. Now, if Paul had preached the gospel in Asia, would he have come across Lydia? And the answer is no, because Lydia was not in Thyatira. She was in Macedonia. She was in Philippi. See, God had a specific appointment made. God wanted Paul to meet Lydia and share the gospel with her. But the only way that Paul could meet Lydia was if he followed God's leading. And he didn't go to Asia, he didn't go to Bithynia, but he went to Macedonia because that's where Lydia was staying. She was staying in Philippi. There was a specific appointment. And God, through his leading, directed Paul to Lydia. So Paul spoke with Lydia. Lydia was there worshiping God. She wanted to know the true and the living God, but she didn't know about Jesus Christ. And as Paul opened up the scriptures, she listened to him, and she believed what he said concerning Jesus. She was baptized in verse 15, along with her household. And I believe that all of them trusted in Jesus as Savior, and they were baptized as a testimony of that salvation. And whenever she was saved and baptized, her life changed amazingly. And she wanted to serve the Lord, and she wanted to serve Paul. And so she invited Paul and his companions to come and live in her house with them. She would provide for their needs, provide shelter and food. And she constrained them. See, whenever God leads us, and a lot of times when God leads us, it's going to be through closed doors and it's going to be through open doors. A lot of times it's a process. I don't want you to do this or go here. I want you to do this and go here. I want you to talk with this specific person. And God had Lydia for Paul. And as we continue on down through the chapter, we realize that Paul eventually would be thrown into prison. But Paul, when he was in prison, would meet the prison guard there, the jailer, and God appointed that meeting there as well. Whenever God closes a door, we must not pry it open. When God opens a door, we must go through it, because as God leads us, he has people that he wants us to meet. He has people that we want to share the gospel with. God wanted to save Lydia, and God directed Paul directly right there to where Lydia was. And step by step, he took Paul this way and that way, right to Philippi, right to Lydia by the riverside. And Lydia was saved gloriously. And it's all because Paul followed God's leading. Now, whenever we follow God's leading today, there will be closed doors, there will be open doors. But as we follow his leading, no doubt there's going to be people that we will come across, people that God has ordained for us to meet, and we can share the gospel with them. And these people very possibly will trust in Jesus as Savior. We must follow God's leading. You know, God leads in so many different ways, but we must be committed to follow his leading. People will be impacted as we do so. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Are you committed this morning to follow God's leading? Don't be discouraged when God closes a door. Keep on searching for that open door, and God will open a door for us. And as he opens that door, let's go through it right away, trusting him. And as we do so, God will bless not only ourselves, but many others. Many lives will be impacted for the gospel's sake as we follow God's leading. Who knows? I'm sure that there is a Lydia that God wants you to meet, if not today, in the near future. But in order to meet her, we need to follow God's leading, just as Paul followed God's leading. May we faithfully follow him, recognizing the closed doors and the open doors, going right through those open doors. God has people for us to meet. God wants to impact lives through the gospel as we share it with them.